Welcome to On Purpose with Paul. I am Paul Peters, your amazing host, entrepreneur, business owner, founder of the nonprofit, and best-selling author. I'm here today to talk to you about how to find your purpose. Welcome to On Purpose, where we go beyond surface-level advice to uncover the real strategies that drive lasting impact. I'm your host, Paul Peters, and today we're tackling one of the most frustrating and costly challenges in business, hiring. Joining us is Kimberly Diamond, a trusted voice in the recruitment and talent strategy space. With over 18 years of experience guiding leaders through the complexity of hiring and organizational growth, Kimberly has worked with everyone from startups to Fortune 500s. She's the founder of K Diamond Consulting, where she helps companies define, attract, and retain the right talent through smart, strategic alignment. Let's start where most hiring problems begin, when companies rush to fill a role without a clear plan. Many business leaders find themselves overwhelmed and underprepared when it comes to hiring. Without a clear strategy, they end up with stacks of resumes, but no real fit, wasting time, money, and morale questions. Welcome, Kimberly, to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me on today.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, I'm very excited because one of the things, and you and I have talked before, I was on your show, and my focus is on helping people find their purpose. And when I think about purpose, specifically in light of what you do, it's aligning where your gifts, talents line up with what you do vocationally, professionally. And so that's a big part of what you do. Can you kind of explain to the audience what you do and how you line up a sense of purpose with the right fit for the company who are reaching out to you to find a good match?
Well, first off, I meet with the company. I want to understand more about their culture, their core values, their mission, really try to ingrain myself into what they're looking for so that as I talk to candidates, I can align those same core values. I think it's very important. You absolutely need to look at the appropriate skills that the client needs for the role that they're looking for, but you also want to make sure that it's a strong cultural fit. So that would include them being in alignment. So I want to make sure I really understand the heartbeat of the company so that I can, in turn, find people that will be a great fit and prosper and grow within the organization and be a great asset. So I start there.
Okay. You hit on a very important aspect. We were actually talking to my team yesterday, gave them a little fireside chat. And, you know, you may have somebody who's extremely talented, gifted, and they are like the top salesman, but they don't align with the culture. Explain to everybody how important it is in regards to your values as a company and aligning with those values to be successful, because they may be, like I said, very talented, very skilled, but not aligned. And what's the danger of hiring somebody that doesn't align with your culture?
Well, of course, it can be disruptive. Yeah. That's probably one of the first things that can happen. So you absolutely want to understand their alignment. Sometimes you will need to engage for over a period of time to really get a sense of that. So it's not always foolproof, right? Mm-hmm. It's not always that, oh, this is a perfect match and you know they absolutely align with us. It's sometimes I feel it, but I'm not sure if it's all there. And that's just because not everyone is as open and transparent right away.
Gotcha.
So, but if you don't, if you were really not even sensing there's some alignment, then you could be facing the challenge of the disruption, a person who is going to potentially push back, maybe you try to redirect, and that can be detrimental to the team and to the objective.
Yeah. Can you walk through the process of how you may, a company reaches out to you, and what is the time frame in regards to evaluating, determining, one, the position they're needing, and then their value so that you can effectively find the right person that meets the position as well as lines up with the value. What process do you take to assess and help bridge that gap?
Well, first off, usually the client reaches out. We have a brief discussion. I set them up for a longer discussion, and then I like to do a little bit more homework on them, finding out what I can. You know, obviously you can get information online, Google, Glassdoor. Really want to, in case there's any challenges that other people might see or read, you want to make sure that those are things that you can potentially address with the client. Mm-hmm. And then you set up a longer visit with the client. We usually call it an intake meeting or a job launch, where we ask all the particulars, make sure we're in alignment with the job description, and everybody who's in the process is in alignment with the job description. Because sometimes that they will use a potentially older version of a description or a canned version, and it really doesn't line up. And then as you go through the process, that can be a miss with some of the other team members. But it's crucial to gather the information to understand the dynamics of the team that they're going to be working with, how that manager manages if you're not talking directly to that manager, and what other functionalities they will interact with, and should those individuals be part of this process, just to really get a feel for their interaction and how well that will go, as well as it really helps you understand more about the day-to-day that this individual or that they need in this role will have to interact and react.
Gotcha.
And it takes time. You're talking about a 2-3-step process.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, let me ask you this, because I'm speaking from experience, because over the last year, we brought in multiple consultants just to really make a big focus on the changing of the culture. If you want to give an example, it'd be great. But when you've gone in, a company's reached out to you, they want to hire somebody, and you've walked in, they've kind of expressed their values, but they've not been, as you have observed, not been consistent living out their values. What do you do in those situations?
You continue to ask again what the values are. Okay. And if the alignment has changed, you want to ask why. You want to see if there is consistency, and if there is not, you want to understand where the consistency is disrupted, right? So if the hiring manager has a particular approach or thought around the core values, the mission, the culture, but the senior leadership has a different perspective, and that can obviously change what you're trying to evaluate as you go through this process. And then therefore you can misalign that with a candidate, because they're not in sync with each other. So you always want to keep asking the question if you feel like there's a change or a misalignment.
Gotcha. Typically, would it be like in my situation, the HR director is kind of the portal to get people into the company. Is that your first point of contact for those linkage?
Most of the time, it will be. Okay. It'll either be a leader of talent or an HR business partner. Because they are, HR business partners are working with generally the entire team, okay, depending on what that looks like. It could be regional, it could be corporately. And they really tend to have the sense of how each individual works together and have a sense of what they're looking for and understand how the manager likes to lead, because they're interacting with them on a daily basis with respect to the human component and themselves and their personalities. So usually it's best to start with them, because they really can give you strong insight, a little bit, hopefully less bias. That's their goal. And then move on to talking to the hiring manager and any other stakeholders that are involved in the process. But they are usually the best point to start.
So let me ask you this. People were considering calling you, reaching out to you for consultation. So once you get in, you find the position, and then have you ever ran into a situation where the person that they're hiring for, there's a disconnect between the supervisor or the manager? Because ideally, for example, in my situation, I'm always looking to make sure we have team unity for functionality, to effectiveness. And when there's a disconnect, i.e. the supervisor is not a people person. And can you kind of explain or maybe go over a situation where you ran into that, where you knew what you needed to do, but when you got through and found out the manager who's going to be supervising the potential candidate, there was a disconnect, and maybe the person wasn't a people person? How would you break through that in order to meet the need of the company, but find out that manager is a little challenging and may not line up with the value system?
Well, that usually starts, if I talk with the hiring manager first, depending on how they have their organization structured and who is the key point of contact for me. If it's the hiring manager and I have a conversation, and then I have another conversation with another individual, and I'm like, wait, I'm not getting the same story here. And it does happen. They have a thought of what they're looking. They know in their mind what they're looking for. Then does that align with what the organization is looking for? And does that fit? And sometimes they might be hard pressed for their ideas and what they think they want it should look like, but it's not in alignment. So you try to, again, understand their style and why isn't it in alignment, and go back to that. It's one of those things that sometimes you don't know right away. You don't know it until you start the process. You start the interview process and you have a conversation after, or you receive feedback and it's completely off and you're like, what happened? Where was the disconnect? And was that because the supervisor is a challenging person to hire for versus some of the other team members that are involved in this and help make the decision? You have to help. You probably want to have a conversation with the other team members that are involved in the process, if they are. Sometimes it's just the hiring manager, and that's what you have to work with. And then you just have to try to understand that personality and just get a better sense of what they really want. Sometimes they think they know what they want, and then they start the process, and it's completely different.
Gotcha, gotcha. So let me use myself as an example. So I am looking to potentially exit my company in the next 1 to 3 years. And so, and I'm assuming, do you help with those transitions of getting the right C-level executive, either a CEO or other type executive? Do you, is that part of what you do?
It's part of what I can do. Okay. I have been involved in some of those transitions in a corporate environment. You know, since I've been with my company, my clients haven't really needed that. There's quite a few, I have quite a few C-level individuals that I'm very, you know, acquainted with,
yeah,
and have opportunities. But yes, absolutely can do that. And it's definitely a transition that you want to start far in advance, because there is a lot of information and other components to your organization that you probably would want to make sure were transferred over the long term. So yes, I can absolutely help with it.
Gotcha. Sure. If you were to put a percentage on it, skill level, knowledge base, depending on the position, versus culturally cohesive, How would you compare those?
That's a difficult one because it does depend on the position.
Yeah.
Right. If it's a highly technical position and there's someone who is not overly engaged with others, maybe they're very siloed in their role, then you know, sometimes the technology side or the analytical side is more dominant. But if they're highly engaged with other functionalities and teams and customers and things of that nature, you probably really want to make sure that there is that cultural alignment. You don't want it either way, but some roles are just a little bit more autonomous and okay, in nature. So it can vary, but most of the time you want to weigh heavier on the fit if the skills can be taught.
Okay. We'll be right back after this commercial.
In a moment, we'll be back on with On Purpose.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
We are now back to On Purpose.
Welcome back to On Purpose. We're back with Kimberly Diamond, who's helping us rethink hiring from a more intentional, purpose-driven perspective. In this segment, we're diving into a silent killer of organizational harmony, misalignment between hiring practices and company culture. So, Kimberly, we were on the last segment, we were talking about the importance of somebody having the skill-based knowledge of the position that you're looking to fill versus cultural value cohesiveness. And so let's kind of expand on that, because you're hired to find the right person who meets the need of the company and hope that there's going to be a harmonious relationship. So kind of talk about what steps are involved, because you're not only working from the company who's hired you, you've got to work from the potential candidate's perspective, and you've got to discern, is this person a right fit? You've heard the term right seat, right person, right seat. And so talk about that and how challenging that is, because you're the middle person to make sure that this relationship is successful.
Yes, and it can be a challenge, and it doesn't. Sometimes we miss the mark, and because we only get to know this person for a certain window of time, right? So we hope that that translates to a long-term relationship and that they are that fit for the long term. Sometimes it turns out after a period of time it actually is not. People are people, and you learn as much as you can. But my approach is to make sure that I listen very closely to what my clients are asking for. I listen and take feedback on the interviews to see if anything has changed. And I take that feedback and incorporate it into my next conversation if there is an adjustment. So you want to keep adjusting accordingly when you get the feedback. And sometimes you really just need to start the process with the client to really, for both of you to really understand what you're looking for and what that cultural alignment looks like. Sometimes it takes a couple of conversations with candidates to go, ooh, no, we thought this is what we were, where we were going with this, but we really feel we need to go in this direction. And sometimes it's a change in level of the responsibility. So you mean it might need to adjust the, that those factors with respect to the job description. And then it kind of can, that in turn can adjust the approach culturally as well, because now they're thinking, oh, I either need someone more of more depth, or I need someone with a little less experience. So that can kind of make some adjustments there in itself.
Gotcha. It's interesting, as you were talking, the I'm a big movie person, so I the movie The Firm, I don't know if you've ever seen it.
And it's
it's interesting because this was a law firm, and they hand selected the candidates for the position, and they vetted them. They, I mean, even their own personal lives. And we know from the movie it was for their own benefit, because they needed to make sure these people. But there's some truth in that, because a company really needs to make sure they're making the right decision with the right candidate, who's not only going to meet the needs of the job that they have, but it's going to blend well with the company. I mean, give us a success story, and give us a story where there was a disconnect, where it just didn't line up. And what did you learn from that?
I've had probably, fortunately, I've had a lot of successes
I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, over the years, I have some individuals that have done great jobs and have been successful in moving up and becoming, larger contributors to organizations. It's probably easier to talk about potentials that didn't, we thought this candidate was great. They got into the role. They said all the right things. They were really strong and cooperative for the first 60 days. And then all of a sudden there was a disconnect culturally. And they tried to work through it. They reached out. We were, all in a little bit of a quandary as to why. So, they worked through it as best that they could, but it ultimately didn't work out after, probably about 6 or 7 months. But again, everyone was super happy in the beginning and it seemed amazing. And then after 60 days, there was an adjustment, and that's just human nature. We wish we could have a crystal ball and we could see that they're going to proceed and grow. But sometimes, whether it's life changes for them or the role just, usually it seems that the role either is mismatched. Sometimes a candidate gets in there and they're either it's not at the level they thought, or it's more than they thought. What I mean? It's more than they can actually handle. So we really need to make sure you fine tune what they're going to be doing day to day initially, and how that needs to grow as well. And can they grow?
Gotcha. I had a situation, just to give you an example. So we hired somebody on in a particular position. It didn't work out. We fortunately had another position, repositioned her. Does that happen very often in a situation where a company, they thought this was a great candidate, it didn't fit, and sometimes because they value the person, they may look at, okay, well, you didn't necessarily fit in this position, but you may fit in this position. Does that happen very often with companies?
As much as I would like to say yes, that's not been my personal experience. And it's, I don't think it's intentional.
Yeah.
I just think that they just don't have an opportunity, or they're not open to moving them into a different role. So I think generally what happens when they don't work out is usually it's probably, like you said, a mismatch culturally. So putting them somewhere else may not fix that.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this, from someone like myself, who's a business owner, looking, what is the biggest challenge, the integration with the people that are hiring you, or then the next? And I do want to talk about, because we focus more on the company's role in utilizing your services, and then the other component is the candidate. So, I mean, talk about that process of getting where you feel like very comfortable with what the company's looking for. You have a good grasp on the culture. Then you're out searching for the potential candidate that will meet that need. What does that process look like?
Well, obviously we use our sourcing resources. Okay. So various resources, as everyone knows, there's variety out there. Indeed, of course, LinkedIn. LinkedIn is probably the number one in this, it's kind of the behemoth. But there are other resources that we utilize to help identify, top level candidates within organizations versus just posting for a position. So most of the time I end up sourcing for candidates versus candidates that are, applying to the role. That's more my my functionality.
Okay.
So my process is, again, to do research, to find out who in the marketplace is a competitor, who in the marketplace might have some of this strong talent that they're looking for, as well as how it might align culturally. So for instance, in my world, I work a lot in industrial wholesale distribution. So if you're looking for a candidate in one of those roles, you generally want to look for somebody who is in that industry. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not necessarily going to pull an operations manager from a banking world and put them into a warehouse environment or, you know, a manufacturing environment. Not that you couldn't, I suppose, but you generally wouldn't cross over those types of industries.
Yeah, gotcha.
So you want to make sure you're looking in the right industries for that talent and reaching out and hoping to get their attention. And in today's market, there are a lot of qualified candidates. I wish we had more jobs.
Gotcha. Now, once you find a potential pool of candidates, what's the process of assessing their skill level, the integration with the culture of the company? What does that look like? I know myself, what we have done slowly, we're integrating some assessments like Strengthology, Clifton Strengths, and other assessment. Is that a part of what you do? Because one thing, and this is more tongue-in-cheek joke, it's like we always put on our best appearance, like we're going to go on a date. And
right.
And then you get married and engaged and the real person shows up.
It's, exactly.
And it is, yeah, in a lot of ways, it's, you know, it's like the person wants, obviously, to present their best foot mm-hmm. forward. But sometimes, for whatever reason, after 6 months or whatever, it doesn't work out because there was some disconnect that wasn't really evident in the initial interview with that process. So talk about how you kind of weed some of those things out, because people are not going to necessarily reveal to you some of the inner struggles they may have that would prevent them from being successful in the company.
You're right. And I have learned over the years listening.
Yeah.
So my method is we create a interview screening guide around the values, the core competencies that they're looking for. And we also integrate behavioral interview questions to ask them how they have walked through different scenarios, and they call it the STAR method. And a lot of people are familiar with that, right? So, and we do use assessments. Assessments are guides. I don't like using them as a make or break for us, you know, session or a knockout. I think that it's just a way to understand a little bit better a person's personality and how you may manage and or coach that person going mm-hmm. forward. But the behavioral based questions help a lot because if they tell their story and do they give the detail. And oftentimes, if you let them walk you through a scenario, you will hear things that will either be very good or will be what you would consider a red flag. You want to let that personality come out in that screening process. That's how I do it. And I've done it for so many years, and I can hear it and go, this isn't going to be a match. And I can tell by either the way they are, their tone, the way they are presenting the information, how they're answering the question. So behavioral-based questions, technical questions, the cultural-type questions, you put those into the screening, and I currently use a couple of different resources for that I can share with my clients that they can actually hear the response of the candidate to the questions.
So when you interview, do you record those and make those available to the company?
I do.
Gotcha. And so once that is done, I mean, typically, what's been some of the responses? Give me a couple examples of the company or whoever's making the decision to hire. What's been some of the responses?
Well, they enjoy hearing that. I think that helps them hear, again, their responses before they commit their valuable time to an interview. So it's new in the process, so they haven't really provided a ton of feedback, but I know that they enjoy having that opportunity in advance. So that way, if they hear something or it doesn't sound like it's not about how necessarily everything about hearing, but there's technical aspects that they're expecting to hear proper answers to that make sense for the role.
Mm-hmm.
So they can listen to that and determine if, you know, maybe the person is either, you know, yes, they have that experience, let's continue the process.
Gotcha. And so in a situation where, and how long does that process typically work for you when the company reaches out to you and then closure of that? What's the typical time frame that you're working with a company and an individual?
Well, a lot of it just, you know, if you look at standard market time, it's usually 45 days or it used to be. It's, you know, it can vary. It depends on the role. Some roles take many months, you know, very high level roles take time. There's a lot of courtship involved. There's a lot of conversations involved on both sides, a lot of inquisitions there. Other roles, you know, with your frontline roles, which, you know, your labor type force, that's sometimes a lot quicker, you know, anywhere from 2 weeks to 30 days. Administrative, operational type roles, we try to do 45 to 60 days is for our process. That's kind of the goal. But again, you're also at the, you also have to be mindful of the organization and their availability to interview. So you really need to kind of set that cadence.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll be right back after this message.
In a moment, we'll be back on with On Purpose.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
We are now back to On Purpose.
We're continuing our conversation with Kimberly Diamond by tackling an issue that quietly drains performance from even the strongest teams: talent burnout and high turnover. For many companies, retaining top performers feels like an endless cycle. Just when you've trained someone, they're already planning their exit. Leaders are left wondering what went wrong and how to break the pattern. So Kimberly, we were joking at the break about, you know, you are really trying to make sure that this relationship we've referred to as a courting relationship is successful. So I mean, in some respects, you're kind of a dating coach. You know, it's like, here's this person, here's this company, let's make sure that this relationship is successful. And so, you know, how have you been able to make some of these courtship relationships be long-term? Because the reality is, and I speak as a business owner, I tell people, and this is no lie, I tell people, I want this to be the last job that you ever have. Because I know what I bring to the table as a company, as an owner, but always, you're going to run into situations where the person may not be who they are. And how do you successfully, given all the years you've been doing this and the successful partnerships you've had with individuals and companies, how do you ensure a stronger likelihood of success in that quote unquote courtship so that there's a good relationship going on that really meets the company's needs and meets the individual's needs? So can you kind of talk through what you have found, lessons you've learned, and ensuring a successful relationship between the company and the person looking for the job?
I think one of them is when you're talking to your client, one of the key things that I've learned over the years in listening to candidates is, you know, you really get a lot of information from candidates. Then listening to candidates, you want to understand how the organization, what is the potential growth pattern for someone. That is one of the key things that a lot of people look for, not everyone. But I would say the vast majority of individuals want to know what that growth looks like, whether that growth is scaling up in the company or it's just learning another skill or just having the ability to, you know, do things outside of their own box, so to speak. So I think that you need to learn that. I think that if you can portray that to the candidate, if the candidate can see that, believe that, and obviously we want the company to follow through with that, there is a strong possibility that you will retain that individual. They know they have growth potential. They know that the company is transparent, and in talking through that with them and providing them the resources, I can say that most of the individuals that have been successful, you know, either in their current role or gone on to be, you know, have larger roles in the organization, has been because they were able to see that growth path in front of them. Now, sometimes it's just about the company growing, which means that there'll be different layers available in the future as the organization expands. So, you know, it may be a small company, but yet as it grows, there's other layers that will need to be put into the place to be able to, you know, create that strong foundation and structure. So it's always giving that to the candidate. Gotcha. Whenever I share that with the candidate, it really, I think that that's probably one of the biggest catches for them.
Yep. So let me ask you a question. I've been interviewed as a quote unquote workplace expert, and they've talked about the generational gaps between the millennials, Gen Zs, Gen X. Do you find anything that stands out in regards to the younger generation? I've got three Gen Z children. Is there anything specific that stands out when you're hiring somebody who may, and typically the company is not saying, I want a Gen Z or I want a millennial or I want a baby boomer. So have you found a difference in the generations as you're hiring and finding individuals?
Yes. Yes, there are. Gen Zs look more towards, number one, they do want transparency in the organization. They want flexibility. They also want growth. And they are very much about having a voice. So, you know, they're, you know, some people may look at them as acting somewhat entitled or what have you, but I look at that as a coaching opportunity for an organization. You need to, you know, they are different. They have grown up in a different generation. They have had different resources and things available to them versus back in, you know, 70s, 80s. So you need to look at that and try to use it as a, like I said, a cultural coaching method for coaching for your company, and be able to weave that in. But yes, they do have different, I don't like to call them requirements, but expectations than back when we started working. You know, it was great to have a job. I'm good for 8 to 5. I'll work weekends. There, it work-life balance. It's just very different and unique. But I don't think you need to look at it as a negative. You need to look at it as an opportunity to maybe revise your culture a little bit, but also being able to integrate all the different generations that are involved.
Gotcha. So what would you say, and I know it varies in the different generations, what are the things that are motivating candidates? And, you know, the easy answer is, well, a good paying job, but it doesn't appear to be that's the case sometimes. So when you're, when a company says, I need to hire for this position, and let's say the salary range is this, and the candidate likes that, is that the thing that draws them and keeps them?
No, not today.
Yeah.
You know, we all know that there are options, so they can exercise those options if the, you know, if it's a little bit more than the money or part, or the money's, you know, a single part of it. So I think they look at the balance. They want to know what are the benefits available to them. What is the future growth? Again, I mean, I can't reiterate that enough. It's the growth potential. It's the ability to expand their skills, and of course the financial opportunity, right? And is there growth in that financial opportunity? So there are multiple things. It's not just about money it is for some people, but yeah. For I would say for the most that I speak with these days, it's quite a bit of a balance, work-life balance. Pandemic really changed the way we look through that lens and how that really works in life.
Yeah.
And I think that they want that.
How's that as you've worked with the companies now with the change? Because I've spoken on that multiple times of the 2-year containment per se, where people are now adjusting what work looks like. How have companies adjusted in regards to, I guess, modifying the expectation where somebody, a baby boomer, I'm just thankful to have a job, clock in, clock out. Thank you for the watch when I retire. I'm good to go. Where
exactly.
You know, the Gen Zs are not like that. They want respect, they want value, they want contribution, they want growth, but it's and a lot of times it's like on their terms, i.e. I want to be able to work at Starbucks if so be. What's been the adjustment as you're working with companies to help them if they're looking for somebody who's younger but very skilled? And you find a lot of the Gen Zs are very skilled in the IT, AI. So how has that adjustment been for you working with them and helping to educate them? Because I would say primarily a majority of business owners are typically baby boomers or the other generation, and they're kind of set in their ways. So there's kind of like some coaching that has to occur. Can you talk about that?
Well, yes, you want to talk about obviously what they're looking for. And if that's, you know, they're looking for the younger generation, you know, they want to build out their bench, their growth. You want to make sure that you capture all of the benefits that they can offer. Mm. And you want to talk through that. You want to explain to them, you know, their competition out there for this type of workforce. So you want to lay that all out and you want to be able to be transparent about it with the candidate.
Yeah.
So whatever they can provide to you, you want to be able to share. And if, and then educate the client like, okay, great, you offer this, this, and this, but your competition, you know, what we're seeing in the marketplace currently is most people are offering this, and it's not necessarily money, it's benefits. Mm-hmm. It's whether it's a 401k or it's, you know, paying X a dollar for their benefits, or it's their learning and development program. So you really, it's hard, but you need to ask those questions outside of what do you want to pay the candidate.
Gotcha. Gotcha. It's interesting. I was thinking while you're talking, it's like, you know, when I was looking for my soulmate, I had like a soulmate list, you know, it's like match up. And most of it wasn't physical features. You know, it was really the character of that person. And I think, and that's the hardest thing for me, not only as a business owner, and I jokingly tell people, I wish I had a character meter that I could wave over somebody and say, this is what's going to be revealed in 6 months. You know, and it's like, you know, so how do you, and I had a fireside chat with my team yesterday and to educate them about how I started my company. And it really, I called it the beauty of betrayal. My company was started out of betrayal because my previous company I was involved in, I was a business partner. And so those betrayals, those things as a business owner go through trying to get the right person so you have a trust. And trust is vital to any relationship. How do you help the determined, and then you mentioned you don't have a crystal ball. You can't read the future. Mm-hmm. But how do you help a business owner who may have had issues where they're really low trust, and they, of course, a successful company has to have high trust. How do you help determine and discern the character of the candidate and making sure that, and also discern the character of the owner or the person you're working with, because it's got to be a good match.
Yes. And it's often very difficult to get all of that. You know, you feel like you have a good sense of it. You go with, you know, there's a lot of intuition that plays into this after years of listening to individuals and whether it's a client or a candidate speaking. References are an option, you know, if they are, you know, viable, trustworthy references. Okay, so there is a way to learn a little bit more about a person if you can get those references and talk to their prior colleagues or managers to see if there's anything, you know, else you can learn from that. Obviously, those assessments do help, but ultimately, because of we don't know what's going to happen with this person from day to day. I mean, you're talking about potential personal outside influences that can actually turn everything on a dime in a minute, right? And all of a sudden, you know, the person that was doing fantastic is now slipping and issues and so on. But it's about being consistent with your communication. I think that if you consistently communicate, that builds the trust. When you stop communicating, you start to break down the trust. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How can a business owner ensure that the person that they chose, what can they do? Because I want as many people that are listening to this audience to really reach out to you, because like myself, I had to humble myself, get to a point where I recognized I needed help in the way of consulting, because my company is fairly large, and getting people to come on and embrace what I've done. I've really given them a clear vision with my company about we get to serve folks with disability. What an honor. We get to help fulfill their dreams. And so if we could talk about that in the next section, I really want you to kind of, as if you were sitting here talking to a potential business owner who wanted to utilize your services, what they could do now to help, one, define what they're looking for, make it clear the vision for the company so people want and really are looking to come onto their company. But we will talk about that at the next break. So we'll be right back after the commercial. Thank you.
In a moment, we'll be back on with On Purpose.
Search for Now Media Television on the App Store or Google Play Store. Download our free app and enjoy live streaming of all Now Media TV channels, along with on-demand content, anytime, anywhere. Now Media Television, the first bilingual media network.
We are now back to On Purpose.
In this final segment, we're shifting gears towards the future. Scaling a business isn't just about profit margins or operations. It's about people. Kimberly Diamond is back with us to explore how investing in your team is the most strategic growth move you can make. When vision outpaces talent, growth stalls. Companies can only scale sustainable when the right people are aligned, empowered and inspired to lean alongside the founder's mission. It's interesting, we were talking about, before we went on break, how a company owner, manager can instill a vision. And because I think about one of my favorite verses, you know, my people perish for lack of vision. The owner has to inspire, because it's not about money. It's about playing a vital part of the puzzle piece to move the company in the direction of the vision. And usually, if not all the time, it's about service. And you're serving your customers. And so what advice, I'm potentially a potential customer of yours, what advice would you give me to redirect, realign, to make sure that I'm communicating my vision, especially in light of what you do, of getting somebody, we talked about courting, somebody who's going to come, not necessarily be attracted because the money's good, but a deeper reason, a bigger why. What would you say to me?
Well, I would say you want to make sure that that information or that vision is very pronounced in your brand.
Okay.
So anything that you're doing from a social media perspective, website, what have you, you want that mission statement and that vision to be consistently communicated.
Gotcha.
The more that you do that, and that's from the beginning, that's right when you start talking to a candidate. You know, you want to, and you first off, you need to make sure it's defined, and it sounds like you have done that, but if you have not, that's what you need to do. You need to define it, and I would say incorporating, you know, some of what your team has to say about what that is for them as well. You know, some people have their own vision, and you as an owner should, but I also think that if you ask anyone who's already part of your organization, how are we aligned with this? Does this feel right? Get that out there so that then they can continue to reiterate that for anyone new who comes into your organization.
Gotcha.
So it's that constant communication of that vision. I hate to say it, but you know, then eventually they drink the Kool-Aid, and that's kind of how it goes. So, I mean, I would just say branding, keeping it very forefront at all times, that so you can really understand and ask the right questions to see if they are in alignment. And there's ways to build questions around that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I remember a story somebody told me about Teddy Roosevelt and what separated him as a leader, as a president. And he took the time to spend with the people that worked at the White House, the landscapers, and he would greet them. What can an owner, manager, as the company grows? Because ideally, that's what every company wanted to grow. And I remember when I was just very young, I knew all of my customers. I would go to their baptisms. I would go to birthday parties. And now it's to a point where my company is getting larger, which thankfully. But what can a owner, manager, business owner, and I'm looking at it from concept of, you got somebody that just got hired, you did a successful placement. How can they make sure that that person is retained in regards to their involvement and connection with their team?
Well, one of the things I recommend is you hold regular town halls.
Okay.
So whether it's through video or in person, to keep them engaged with what's happening with the organization. You'd want to talk about the future of the organization. You want to talk about the things that have happened that are positive. You want to, you know, the encouragement factor is there. Stay present.
Yeah.
You know, if you're missing, then it's like, do they really exist? Do they really care? So, you know, I've worked with great organizations where I've had the luxury of great CEOs just walking the floor. You know, there's hundreds and hundreds of people, but they'll make a point to go through, and some of them will remember your names. And sometimes it's hard. There's a lot of people, but it's that being present, being transparent, and you know, as a leader, they need to see you. They need to understand what your vision is, and they need to feel part of it. And I think town halls, regular acknowledgments, newsletters, things, anything that you can do to keep your voice and your vision present, that will absolutely make them feel more engaged, more part of it, more cohesive, and you'll retain them because they see your vision. They are with it. They are moving forward with it.
Gotcha. So let's talk a little bit the time we have, because I do want to talk briefly, just popped in my head, about the incorporation of AI into businesses and how that affects job placement. But what role, once you successfully place, are you done once you fill that, or is there a follow-up?
Well, I tend to follow up with each party. I like to keep up with the candidate at least for the first 90 days just to see how things are going. So I will reach out to them at a personal level. And then I check in, of course, with my client to see how things are going. Yes, there's follow-up, and you know, they usually are very good about responding to let me know if things are going well, or you know, whatever challenge arises. But most of the time, everybody's doing well. But I like to follow up for at least 90 days. Sometimes it goes longer. You know, depending on how long I'm engaged with the client.
Now, how do you do coaching to the individual that you placed if they've got issues where, let's say, there wasn't a clear expectation of what was going to happen once they got on the job?
A little bit. I try not to get involved too deeply into that. I will probably, more than anything, recommend that they have a conversation with their lead, you know, with their manager, you know, about anything that might be challenging them versus me stepping in on them. Yes.
Gotcha. Now, what recommendation or advice, and we'll do this fireside chat, and you got the candidate sitting here. and knowing some of the things that you've experienced because things have been revealed that they were not even aware of unconsciously, what recommendation would you give to a potential candidate as they're preparing for the interview?
Oh, well, I am that recruiter. I give them a lot of information, and I actually, you know, obviously, I make sure that they do some research. I want to prepare them, and I coach them on what I have learned. Managers, you know, over the years, the managers have given me feedback. I talk through with them. If I feel like they're missing, you know, if there is a part to their responses that either may not come across appropriately, or maybe is not detailed enough, or they're not listening. I can tell if a candidate is not listening when they answer a question without ever really answering the question. So I will redirect them and coach them, absolutely. And it really does, I think it helps them a lot. And I've been very candid with them if they need to do something differently.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time helping them prepare for the interview, or is it just trying to find the right fit, right person for that position? How does that process work? Because you're being hired by the company, then you do mm-hmm. your search. But I'm trying to help people prepare so there's a good fit. What preparation do you work with the candidate to be successful? Because your success is dependent upon them accepting one another, the courtship process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We go through the screening process that was designed based on my client's core values, competencies. And so they get to listen to that, and we get to talk about that. So that is how I prepare them. So that way they, you know, if there is something we need to adjust, they can hear that. So they're actually recording them so they can hear it.
Gotcha.
And then that helps them. And it's usually, my process with a candidate is usually, you know, I spend, well, we're not talking about sourcing the candidate and you know, the emails back and forth, but my time spent with them is about an hour before. And then I will also prep them with probably another 30 minutes, prep them with, you know, depending on who they're meeting with. And then, so about it, yeah. Pretty much. And then we continue our relationship from there. If it doesn't move forward, if I don't feel comfortable moving them forward, or they go to one interview and they don't feel like this is a match, we continue our conversations and look at other opportunities.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to ask you is when you're, you know, interviewing and getting these people ready, I mean, do you determine this person's not going to be a good fit? Either they don't match the needs of the company, they don't align with the value system based on your interviewing, and then you just basically, you're trying to weed down the potential candidate that would be more of a yes than a no, I imagine. So,
yeah, I do that, but I also have the communication with the client. Like, I may have a list of candidates and talk through that with them and let them make their decision too. Sometimes, you know, they want to kind of decide. Now, obviously, if it's someone that doesn't match up at all, obviously, yeah. I don't waste their time with that. But if there is some that I feel like, well, I'm not 100% sure that you would feel that they're a fit, but I think that they have all the skills that are there, and that, you know, it's not a complete miss, but let's talk through it. So sometimes I will talk through it with the client and let the client determine if they want to move forward based on that information, just to be sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I jokingly said, when I interview people, I wish I had a magic wand to determine. And you know, in some respects, and this is more of a plug for you, you are that for business owners, because you kind of discern the character of somebody so they don't have to make the wrong decision. So bravo to you for being able to be that kind of that portal gate to help make sure the successful relationship. So we've got a couple more minutes. So do you with the onset of, and I've just come back from a leadership conference on AI, do you see that, and what's its impact on business owners and companies at large?
AI has its place. Obviously, there's great things that AI can be utilized for. I think we just are still in the process of identifying those pros and cons.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously with technology, we have to flush out, you know, the bugs, so to speak, just to see where it really is in alignment and if there's any challenges that we really are missing just because we're super excited about the shiny new ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still going to find its place. I think we're just still in that process of fleshing out what that will actually look like. And I think companies need to really be mindful of that assessment and not make a rush
yeah.
judgment call or more decision on utilizing it versus, you know, to save money, you know, because, you know, by reducing, you know, their workforce, I think that we just need to be mindful of that right now. Again, it will flush itself out. I'm sure of that. It just might take some time.
Well, it's interesting with your show, The Human Dynamic. We've got to make sure that we have that human dynamic. AI can do so much, but the human dynamic is what separates us from other things. So, Kimberly, this has been incredibly valuable for not only me. I just love talking with you. Where can people find you if they wanted to utilize your services or just know more about you?
Sure. You can find me at www.kdiamondconsulting.com, and that's K-D-Y-M-O-N-D, consulting.com. Most people want to spell it D-I-A, I get it. Or you can email me at kim@kdiamondconsulting.com, and you can also find me on LinkedIn. So I'm happy to set up time just to connect and talk about what's going on and see if my services can be of help. Not only do I do the recruiting, but I help you walk through your processes. It can help with interview preparing, ATS system reviews, your systems and your resources, just to see if you're utilizing and having what you need. And so feel free to reach out. There's more than just recruiting that
awesome.
We offer.
It's truly been a pleasure. Thank you, Kimberly. I appreciate
it. Okay. Thank you. It's been great today. Always. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.